Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, this is 2 weeks in a row. We're crazy.
2 weeks in a row. I think we just, I've been up for, 48 hours just watching political news in the United States and just analyzing every possible seat that was won and lost by the Democrats and the Republicans. And I still can't believe it. But no, I'm completely being facetious because if I'm ever up for 48 straight hours, no one would want to be around me because they'd be drunk off my ass or just completely oblivious to the world around me and probably curse at you a lot.
Yeah, even if you weren't drunk off your ass, I'm pretty sure there have been like studies that being more tired is actually worse than being more drunk.
Oh yeah, my mind would be a pile of mush, even more than it is a pile of mush now. I sometimes, that's why I wear Velcro shoes. I can't even freaking have the time to tie my shoes.
I wonder what other clothes could be Velcroed. I feel like maybe we're underutilizing Velcro.
I've seen shirts that are Velcroed for
people like where the buttons would be?
Yeah, people who have disabilities and they can't, like, they have Parkinson's or muscle disorders still. And they can't button their shirts. They use Velcro. So good for them. Good for the inventors of that. What do you think about FPL? You want to get into it, or you want to talk about how bad Wolves was jobbed over the weekend?
Let's talk more about Velcro. I'm genuinely trying to think of other applications for Velcro.
Velcro underwear. I mean, it would speed things up.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get into this because if you had Velcro underwear, it would get off to that, like that awkward situation when you're laying in bed with your missus and you're going to get naked and it's so awkward to you're laying down, but you don't want to sit all the way up to pull off your underwear and you got to hope that she's artistically valued with her toes to pull them off. And there's always that awkward thing. You don't want to stop midstream because, if you're going full bore kissing and you don't want to get up with the, mess up the mojo of it. Who wants an awkward moment when that's why, I always pretty much have sex with my socks on because I'm just forget it. They're staying down there because I'm not reaching them.
To quote Flight of the Conchords, that's why they called business socks. Ooh.
I'm always wearing wool socks. I want my feet to be warm and my pleasure dome to be happy.
Oh my. But I think there should be a market there for Velcro underwear then.
But it can't be like that because there's Velcro that's abrasive. When you touch it and it touches a part of your skin
in theory it would be on either normal flap of your underwear.
Yeah, but
so it shouldn't be touching you.
There could be some chafing issue. I'm just saying because underwear does get turned and there's some OTPHJ stuff that goes on that may alter the undercarriage.
I see what you're saying. I think we're going to have to test this theory some more before we go to market. But I think there's a place for this.
But by the way, the Pee Wee Playhouse word of the day is OTPHJ.
Okay. Now let's talk about fantasy. Let's start with something that was very deeply depressing, which is apparently Mitrovic just isn't going to get the ball at any point during any match again. He did have a couple of headers that he skewed wide, but he's still over 20% owned. He was an FPL darling from the start of the season. I was one goal away from writing an article about how he was an elite forward. So in that regard, kind of happy that I missed out on that before this huge plummeting of his value. Assuming people are shifting off of Mitrovic, obviously
there's,
Liverpool.
There's no assuming.
Literally everyone has to sell Mitrovic, especially going into a match against Liverpool at home, where defensively they've been great basically since January. Where should people go with that Mitrovic fund? Because last week we were talking about the idea of maybe having all low price forwards, but Mitrovic was on that list. And after, failing against Cardiff, he's certainly not.
Well, listen, when you fail against the arguably the first or second worst.
Sorry, I said Cardiff. I meant Huddersfield.
Yeah, but you know, Huddersfield is in the bottom three discussion for fantasy, you know, reliability and scoring against. But yeah, nobody expected me to reach the blank. Everybody was buying, you know, the edible arrangements of Alexander, you know, and I always love to bring this up. I think he's, you know, I said this before, he's still only 23 years old, so there's still hope that he could become nothing. But Mitrovic to me is, if you own him, you're looking everywhere else but at him, because I think there's nothing to garner there. You basically have options that are all around him price-wise. That is whatever 6.7 he is currently. You know, it's an easy transition to someone else that you don't own. Whether you don't own Callum Wilson right now, you're probably losing in fantasy. He could be an option. Jimenez from Wolves is a great option. Glenn Murray is very goal dependent, but an option. Danny Ings is great. You know, I'm not a statistic guy, but everybody in the x/goal area loves Danny Ings because of his capabilities. At goal, you know, there's the Isaac success whenever he's not beaten on Tina Turner is good there. But yeah, if you own Mitrovic, you came away from this weekend completely with a sour, bitter taste in your mouth. And you're looking for other reasons to go to a forward, especially in that lower price range, because I think Mitrovic is probably going to just, if he's not the Nina, the Pinta, he's the Santa Maria on the ship sailing.
Just pulling out Columbus references all left and right.
Absolutely.
We're in Fuego today.
We're talking. Let's go back to Velcro. I love the hook and latch system of Velcro. It's so convenient.
Yeah. Did you know that that's actually what cats' tongues are like?
Yeah, hook and tongue.
Yeah. That's basically like a Velcro system.
Rough, that's why it's rough one way.
Rough to the touch. Exactly. And now I think.
That's why I let my cat lick me once, and then my friend the second time on the way back, because I get the soft, he gets the rough.
I thought you were going to say something about like attaching a cat to Velcro. Like, would that work? Like, if a cat licked Velcro, would it be stuck?
I don't think it will be. That's a bad miss there by Dzeko. Sorry. I'm watching the Champions League. CSKA Roma.
Nice. I think if I had, I think the clear choice this week is Arnautovic. I want it to be Jimenez, who obviously had a goal and assist last week. The assist came via a one penalty. But he has had plenty of actual assists this year where he just like knocks it onto somebody already in the box. And she's like, oh, there you go. Just go have yourself a goal. Although I think the Matinho one against United was actually outside the box.
Yeah, but if you're looking at a Jimenez thing right now, that, you know, they do face Arsenal this week. But, you know, you do have 2 weeks to sit on him. And then he faces Cardiff. Huddersfield and Cardiff. That was a Cardiff is Huddersfield and Cardiff combined.
Yeah.
But he does face Huddersfield and Cardiff, so it's not like a one. It's not like a 1 week move. You'd have to pray that he does something at you know Arsenal on the road.
Right. And that's why I was saying I think Arnautovic is the play this week.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But then I do agree. Jimenez is very interesting, although Wolves always have a few very good chances in a match, but they don't create a lot outside of those. Like they are not a volume attack. Which
like
is
wolves in like wolves in nature or wolves in
yeah the yeah actual wolves
like white wolves.
I just like it if they were attacking a bit more throughout matches or creating better chances, but when they do create them, they tend to be solid and goal scoring. Although I could be tainted a little recency bias with that Tottenham match where they basically had three or four chances and scored two of them and almost a third. Moving on, we talked last week about this idea of three small forwards and three big midfielders, and then immediately one of them was removed from the equation, literally just hours after we recorded. Again, today we're recording to the early set of Champions League matches. Kevin De Bruyne, now out at least a month again. It's unlikely that many people had the time to bring him into their team before he got hurt again. But what do you think this means for Manchester City? I assume we still have faith that Aguero can score because he's been doing it this whole season without him. But where do you think that point share shifts in the midfield?
I think Bernardo Silva still retains some value there at 7.6. We could see a little bit more of Mahrez mixed in. He really hasn't, you know, gotten his feet under him and done a lot of things and not rostered enough where people are taking advantage of it. He does have two goals in his last three games, didn't feature against Southampton. There was no need to. My sister could have played against Southampton and probably scored. His ownership 3.6 right now, Mahrez. I think that you'll probably, you know, I don't know if you'll see him this weekend against, you know, in the Derby game. But the upcoming fixtures for City, West Ham, Bournemouth, Watford, Chelsea, Everton are the next five. That basically takes you to Boxing Day. And then you start getting into where De Bruyne probably possibly could return. So, you know, Mahrez is an option, but he is a little pricey. That's the only problem. When you start getting up into that 8.7 and above, 8.5 and above price tag, and it's not just for midfielders, it's for forwards as well. And I'm foreshadowing because we're going to talk about a topic later about another forward that's a little overpriced but giving you good results and not everybody's looking at him. But yeah, I'd probably stay the course with, you know, you probably own Aguero. If you're not owning a City or a City defender and a goalie combo, Sterling is the own in midfield. But if you want to be all offensive with City, and there's, I don't doubt that you should be because they just scored 6 on Southampton and they proved that there's enough to go around where everybody gets involved. Sterling had 2 goals, 2 assists, you know, Silva had a goal, Aguero had a goal. There's definitely enough goodies to go around. But, you know, if you're looking for a buy-in product, you know, Silva, I think, is the guy at 7.6. If you wanted to be completely differential there, you know, his ownership proves that. He's at 8.6, which is basically one of the lower end. He's owned less than Leroy Sané. So he's owned more than Leroy Sané. Sorry, I misread that. But, yeah, so, I mean, he's still involved in a lot of the play. But, you know, I think you stay mainstream with City. I wouldn't be trying to outthink the outthinkers here and say, yeah, I need to own Bruno Silva because he's going to get goals. You want to own Raheem Sterling, even given his price is 11.1. You pretty much want to own Aguero, and then you probably, you know, punt down to either own Ederson because of the clean sheet capability, or if you're a Benjamin Button Mendy owner, you go that route because you think he has offensive capabilities, but he could regress and be a toddler in 10 years.
Huh. Kind of sticking on City, they also have a really big match this week against Manchester United. United, though, United, really, really not good in defense. Bottom five in defense right now in the Premier League. Just 1 clean sheet on the season. If you have these City guys, I'm assuming you're still rolling with them.
The defenders?
Or anyone, really.
When you look at the United ownership, the only person that's gone up in like the last like 4 weeks is Anthony Martial in ownership. And this is the time where, you know, it's funny. He scored in X amount of games in a row and now he gets City. So now people are looking at, yeah, 4 in a row. And now he gets City and people are like, well, he's hot. He's the most informed player in the Premier League, you know, returning 11.3 points a game in the last 3 games. And now he gets City. So are you going to be on the bus and saying, yeah, I'm going to buy Anthony Martial against City, thinking he can do it again? I don't think that's possible. But, yeah, I mean, United just don't have a product there that you – especially defensively, no. De Gea is a no. Midfield besides maybe Martial, maybe Pogba if you want to be completely different or if you're Pogba's cousin.
Pogba's still really good in the ESPN game, shameless plug.
Yeah, because he does other stuff that – the official game doesn't count, like whining and stupid haircuts, and they get you receive extra points for another.
Yeah, those are the other stats: our haircuts and, you know, complaining about Mourinho and press conferences.
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that you get extra points for in the tertiary, you know, worlds of non-OFPL. I think the other one is what is it? Not doing interviews correctly or answering the direct question of interviews.
Or that time when he said he couldn't talk about Mourinho, like, were they trying to get him fined?
Yeah, not tipping the normal gratuity on a tip. That's another scoring factor in.
Those are negative points though. You don't get positive points for not tipping.
Well, it depends. It's accrued. It's like 15%, 16%, 17%, 18%. Depends on what you tip. You know, but Pogba, I've heard, is an awful, awful tipper.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, Martial is probably the only United person you really want to play. The Luke Shaw hype lasted about 2 weeks.
Two weeks too long.
Yeah, you're right, because they literally are incapable of keeping clean sheets. I am interested in the fact that they've seemingly been playing better sans Lukaku, whether it be Rashford up front or Alexis. I'm kind of surprised Martial hasn't gotten to go up front, but when he keeps scoring goals off the left, it's kind of like, oh, well, I guess we shouldn't mess with that while it's going. But I think this should be a pretty comprehensive City win.
The thing going for United is they're more athletic now without Lukaku and taking up a big space in the middle. Mm. You know, they have Rashford, they have, you know, whoever they want to mix in, Martial. Lingard seems to be just completely displaced now. Alexis coming off the bench. But Lukaku not taking up space, I think, has allowed United to be more fluid rather than have, like, basically Lukaku is like that ugly Cristiano Ronaldo statue.
Well said. I'm assuming you think that City come out of this one?
It is their city. No, I'm kidding. They are home. They're better at home. They're better everywhere. Man for man, they're better. But you can't ever downplay a derby matchup, especially when it involves Mourinho and Guardiola.
True.
Mourinho's going to come out probably... This would be if I was the United manager, what I would do is I would completely attack the hell out of City in the first 20 minutes, and then if it didn't work, I would just rest on my laurels and take a tie.
Yeah, although sitting back and not conceding goals has not been a stratagem that has particularly worked for them this season.
No, not at all. But I mean, it's also saying that we're good enough defensively to keep out the best scoring team in England.
Sticking with the City side, last week everybody was all super excited to bring in City defenders, particularly Mendy against Southampton. Obviously, they end up conceding in that one. But last week, none of the traditional big three defenders this year, Robertson, Alonso, or Mendy, kept a clean sheet. We talked earlier in the season about how they're kind of all being must-owns. Then we were kind of off that for a while. Where do you sit with those defenders now, and how many of those elite priced guys are you worth owning?
There's like a difference. It's like elite price guys and then elite return guys. Elite price guys, I'm talking about anybody above like Alonso, Mendy, Robertson is pretty much that category. Trippier, I'll throw Trippier into there. I basically think that you could probably roll with one. The only thing that's worrisome to me now is that, you know, I included a Liverpool defender in there. They're starting to do some rotation things. You know, TAA got rotated in the Champions League, and then, you know, Lovren sat out, and then we saw the 6'5" beanpole Joel Matip in there, who got subbed out for Joe Gomez, who didn't play 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, it's trying to figure out who's going to play when and where is starting to become a problem for Liverpool, because their fixtures are starting to pile up on them, and the trust levels and Dejan Lovren's mouth can't get out of their own way. I think that if you're going to own one, you have to look at offensive capabilities, and you put Alonso and Mendy in one category, and I think you take your pick there. Then if you wanted to be, you know, risky enough and you had the funds to do it, I think you pick one of Robertson, Trippier, and, you know, somebody else in that price range. It's probably – it's basically Robertson or Trippier for me. So basically I think you can have two. So I think you can go either your own Alonso and Mendy, one of the two, or Robertson and Trippier, one of the two. And I think that's basically where you end it. And I think you could fill out the rest of your team with, you know, 4.23 to under like 4.8, three or four defenders from that, three defenders from that. And I think you'd be perfectly fine. Mix and match with, you know, like a Watford defender if they're, you know, given the fixtures. I think they give you ample enough returns. Definitely maybe a Wolves defender because they still are pretty good defensively. And even a Brighton defender who, you know, are doing bits lately. And, you know, even some guys are scoring goals and have almost as good offensive numbers as the elite guys. So, I mean, but there's bargains to be – there's always bargains to be had in defense if you shift around and follow the metrics of the tertiary, you know, fantasy scoring world.
Yeah. I will say on Trippier, he has been getting not very positive comments out of Pochettino lately, including he should be reminded that he's a defender. Because he has been getting up a lot and sending in crosses, but he's also been blaming teammates when he's not tracking back. I would not be surprised if he ends up on the wrong side of a rotation after early in the season it looking like it was just his job. You mentioned some of those cheaper defender guys. Let's talk some more about some obscure folks, mostly from South America. I wanted to talk about Lamella, and you were like, if we're talking about Lamella, we have to talk about Felipe Anderson. I think you meant it snarkily. But now let's actually do that. because Lamella now has 4 goals and an assist, which is as many as Lucas has this season. Tottenham scoring in the Champions League, less so in the Premier League, although the 3 goals at the weekend against Wolves, I think, was the highest goal tally of the season thus far for Tottenham. How do you feel about maybe a Lamella, or if you're looking at Brazil and a different London club, Felipe Anderson?
Well, this we touched on this in the last week's show. There's a ton of assets in that 6.0 to 7 dot whatever range you want to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You want to, you know, it's the Richarlison group, the Sigurdsson group, you know, Ryan Fraser,
Madison.
Now Lamella's in there because of his goal returns in the last – was he got 4 goals in his last 5 games or 4 goals in his last 5? Yeah, 4 goals, something like that. You know, and then Felipe Anderson has got goals – he's got 4 goals in his last – or he's got 2 goals in his last 3 – or 4 games, 3 in his last 5. So, I mean, there's guys – the midfield – this is going to make or break or win or lose this season here. Your ability to rotate on and off for the middle – the I'm calling these guys the budget midfielders because the way that everyone's stacking their forward ranks, because everybody should own of Callum Wilson right now, and that's the bargain savior of everyone. They're owning one high priced mid forward on top of that, whether it be Aguero, because nobody wants the postpartum Kane and his fat butt. that was a joke at Kevin because he showed me a picture. Harry Kane has FPL postpartum. But yeah, it's all about who you pick and choose who you want to roster every week from that, like I said, that 6.0 to 7.5 midfielder. You probably can roster 2 of them, and I think you'd be okay because then you're pairing them up with Sterling, Hazard, Salah, Mane, pick 2 out of those 4 and, you know, go into battle with that. Like me currently, I own Sterling, Hazard, Madison, Sigurdsson, and Fraser. I'm completely content with that. I have no reason to change it out because the fixtures are sort of in my hand. I'm rolling with 3 defenders every week, and pretty much. The only bad thing is I'm staring at Alexander Mitrovic up top, so that's my one change. And then I look to upgrade with the money that I'm going to be saving from Mitrovic to a midfielder, and I'm like, any one of those 3 midfielders that I own, Madison, Sigurdsson, or Fraser, have been giving ample returns, have decent enough fixtures that I think they could give you something back. Well, not so much Sigurdsson this week. I think that Chelsea probably put the brakes on Everton, but he's still on penalties, so there's still value there that somebody else isn't going to be attaining, and his ownership isn't completely wonky. That you're like, okay, there's sort of a everybody's buying into him, but owned at 7.6%. But I mean, if you could time your midfield transfers to another mid-priced guy, Richarlison is pretty much universally the most owned of all of them. But if you could time a Lamella strike or a Roberto Pereira strike, or, you know, I think we're off the Ross Barkley train now. But a Felipe, I don't think Felipe Anderson is a guy that you're going to be looking at right now until he gives it to you multiple weeks. But you know, there's so many guys there. I even love if Cardiff didn't suck so bad and they were actually scoring goals, Callum Patterson would probably be the most owned midfielder in the game because he plays so out of position, OOP. Yeah. But, you know, he's classified as a midfielder. He's 5.2. If Cardiff didn't suck so bad, like literally Callum Patterson would be probably one of the most owned midfielders.
Yeah, another player that has randomly popped up on the radar. I'm not sure if it's to own yet, but Alvaro Morata is kind of doing things at the moment. He had a chance at a hat trick, but flubbed it, which kind of shows that he's still the same beleaguered player that he was. But he's in the second best attack in the Premier League right now. With Giroud injured, it's pretty clearly just him up front. I guess if Hazard is fully fit, he could be up front. But what do you make of Morata, both as an FPL player and as a Chelsea guy?
His hair is always perfect. Even after he heads the ball, it's always perfect.
And Alderweireld should have a hair off.
Oh, it would be so... There was so much product going in there. but Morata, this fall, he falls into basically that... The returns are great, but the price isn't sexy. You know, at 8.7, he's basically going to cost you a big price midfielder. So it's going to be, do you want Morata or Sané? And, you know, basically you could have Mane and Madison, or you can have Morata and basically a trade down at midfield. You know, I know they play different positions, but I'm talking about price ranges. But given that he's got four goals in his last five or four games, the upcoming fixture, Everton, Spurs, Fulham, Wolves. This is probably a move that you're looking for after Turkey Day, after the Spurs fixture, when Chelsea faces Fulham and Wolves, and then before they play City. So, I mean, if you're looking for like a quick strike, like I said, if you could time the transfers just right and have that guy be the guy for those one or two games, that's it. Fulham, Wolves. You're not looking any further than those two games for Alvaro Morata. You're probably not going to bring him in against Everton. I think Everton is just good enough to not allow more than two goals. Spurs, we know how they are. You know, they get lucky against Wolves and they let up two goals, but they're not awful defensively. Where like you're going to take them to prom and you're going to score. So you're pretty much relying on the fact that you're going to get one or two goals against Spurs. I like Morata. I just don't see him based on his price as an asset. I'd rather have a high priced Aguero, the Callum Wilson, whatever you bought in as, and then roll the dice with a third, you know, cheaper, forward, like Jimenez, or, you know, if you could time a Glenn Murray, good game. The price is the only hindrance to Alvaro Morata. That, and he sucks sometimes.
He does suck sometimes. And sometimes he sucks in the matches where he scores a brace.
It sucks. That's the worst part about it. That's the worst part about it is you're like, all right, Morata's coming around. He's out of the slump. And then, boom, he misses a sitter, you know?
Yeah. Let's wrap up talking about Liverpool. They lose to Red Star Belgrade in the Champions League yesterday. Salah and Mane, I think, both played significant minutes, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. This should be a slam dunk super mega home run against Fulham, who have the worst defense in the Premier League. But do you have any thoughts of maybe not going heavy Liverpool this week because of that? Or for example, do you have Salah on your team? And if not, are you trying to bring him in?
I don't own Salah and I don't own Mane. This is basically one of those temptuous beasts that is like that making people who don't wait for the double game weeks want to play their triple captain. This is one of those fixtures that you're looking at. All right, Liverpool's coming off a bad beat against Red Star. They're going to come in. You know, they're at home to Fulham. Fulham is garbage. They give up the most points to Premier League defenders for fantasy purposes. They give up the second most to Premier League midfielders and the second most to Premier League forwards. There's a little stat for you. Although Liverpool doesn't really have a forward that is going to, you know, light the world on fire because Roberto Firmino is completely overrated. but midfielder wise, this is where you're looking at. If you don't own Salah, this is the week that you're looking at it to buy into, to, you know, take advantage of it. But, you know, look at what happened last week. Everybody thought, you know, that Fulham was going to do stuff against, you know, Huddersfield, and Huddersfield, you know, only scored one goal. I mean, Huddersfield is not even – I'm not saying that Huddersfield is Liverpool. Relax. Everybody at home getting ready on their keyboards. I'm writing him a blatant email that he's stupid. I'm not saying that at any bit. I'm just saying that with the midweek fixture, what we saw from Liverpool, that yes, they are going to come pissed off, but that is not always a good thing. Sometimes that can – you know, anger is the worst kind of adrenaline because it tires you out quicker. So yes, I think they're going to score, but yes, I think you should temper expectations. Do I think they win? Yeah, but I think the goal tally would be closer to 2 than 6.
Yeah, I think Liverpool should still win this weekend, but I've been looking at my team, and I don't think I can get all the way up to Mane or Salah, just because I've been riding with this double Richarlison Madison. I know a lot of people had to choose one or the other, but I actually have both, and I think that trying to decide which of them to give up on when I've been high on both of them this season, like I was high on Richarlison from the preseason. Giving up on one of them to get all the way up there would not only cause me to take at least a -4, but there might still be, I don't know. It's a tough one for me. I'm going to be honest. I could be wrong here. Like the right play may just be climbing up to Liverpool. I know that a lot of their rough fixtures are behind them now. But I don't know if it's just the Champions League thing, but I am hesitant to try to overspend and overly change my team just to get one in. And I guess we'll see at the weekend if that was wise or foolish. But that'll do it for us today. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
Here. You find me here on this podcast.
Yeah,
on
do Twitter, it. Listen to this.
And on Twitter at FPL_MNOP. Well, they're already listening to this, Kevin, so they've already waited this long to get to where we are. Can you imagine if somebody was like, I like these guys. You know what? I'm going to stay all the way to the end to find out where I can find more of these guys, because that never happens.
And then they're like, it was here. It was here all along. Well, if they liked it enough to see where we were, they might like it enough to just listen through it.
Yeah, and subscribe to it on stuff.
Yeah, do that.
And then follow Kevin and follow the magic of Kevin DeVries all over the sprinkles of the internet.
Yeah, that's one way of saying it. Another way would be I'm on Twitter at Kevroff. Also on this very channel, obviously, we have the EPL Roundtable and the Championship Roundtable. Check both of those out. If you want to see my fantasy writings, check out either Goal or ESPN, where I talk about them fantasy doodads. This week's article on ESPN is going to be about Raheem Sterling. And we have a couple of Team of the Week articles over at Goal for both the Premier League and the Champions League. Rob, an absolute pleasure speaking with you again. We did it 2 weeks in a go. We'll see you next week if we make it 3. Oh, wait. No, after next week, it'll be an international break, right?
There's an international break, and that's when we award our first third of this Premier League awards show.
Oh, I guess we can do that.
I'm kidding.
But, like, I don't know. We're not going to promise anything. We're really bad about that. But, obviously, enjoyed speaking fantasy with you again today. Folks at home, best of luck to your fantasy teams, unless you're in our mini leagues, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.